Lift up the hands which hang down to the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So it's talking about us living out a life and being an encouragement to other people. Because we are an example. Like it or not, you're an example. Good or bad, you're an example. We want to be a good example. Don't we? So get on your feet. Go to work. Look ahead at that straight path where you follow. And don't stray from it. Whatever you do. You hold the key I want to talk about tonight. We hold the key to salvation. You know, friends, everything's been done for you to be saved. You ever thought about that? God created us in His image. He sent Jesus Christ down here on the rugged cross to die. The Bible says what a horrible death He died. You ever read much about the death? They usually use three nails. They would drive it through here because that would pull out there. But this was called a part of the hand back years ago. Drive one through there, one through there. Then they drive one through both feet. Put one foot on top of the other. They would flex the knees for a reason. Remember reading about break the legs? You know why they broke the legs? So that we die. As long as you can push up, you can exhale air. But once you can't push up, you can't breathe out. You know, they came to Jesus to break his legs, and he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. That's what they did. They said that people would hang there for days if they didn't do that. Once you bleed, you know, and stop bleeding, what you going to die from? Hanging there. Horrible, horrible, horrible day. He died for me and you. And when you take a nap on the first day of the week, you better realize, think about what you're doing. Don't you ever take it with your mind on nothing else. You ever read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 what it says? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that he eateth that bread and drinketh that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice what the next verse says. For this cause, what cause? Not thinking about what you're doing and discerning the Lord's body. None of us are worthy of taking it. We're not really worthy, but we can take it in a worthy manner, okay? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? Because they don't take the cup and the bread and don't do it in a worthy manner. They don't think about what they're doing. They think about some of the wild blue yonder, so to speak. Friend, that is so, so serious. You know, we laugh and talk, we hee and haw and all that kind of stuff. Friends, this is serious. This is the death house. You know that? This is the death house. We come here to worship. We come here to worship the Lord. We come here to sing and to pray and to get together and think about the things that in life are important. That's right. This is what's important in life. And you hold the key to your salvation. And if you're lost, you can't blame nobody but yourself. That's right. Because we've got the book. We can understand it. We can read. And we can study. Like Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. To preach them all, anybody in the world to approve me, I want God to approve of me. Don't you? Absolutely. I want God to approve of my life. You ever wonder if he approves of your life? Where is he on your list? Between 1 and 10. You say, well, it ought to be 10. But you know, he comes in about 5. Sometimes 3. Sometimes even less than that. Well, you don't even want to hear about God. You don't really hear it. You don't hear his name. You don't know that? The Bible talks about that too. Over in the book of Romans. Romans, the first chapter. You're talking about a chapter. Romans chapter 1, it talks about homosexuals. For this cause, God did look to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. You know, the other day I saw in the paper, gay is okay. That's the thing it's liable to be. Hey, that's sin. You talk about sin. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just, okay? Back in Genesis 19. That's right. When those angels came there, came to Lot. They said, we're going to stay outside. The men of the city said, both small and great, surrounded Lot's house. We want those men. Lot said, take my daughters. No, we want those men. They're about to break the door down. The angel struck them with blindness, told Lot to get out of there. You know what he said to those two men that engaged his daughters? They wouldn't go. They fed the flames. That's right. They fed the flames, those two men. Now, just walk off one that mocked. You ever been mocked? You ever been mocked by somebody?
Lot, what you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about.
So they stayed there and they died. And let's go back to Romans chapter 1. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get some of that. A little whispering, a little backbiting. You ever do that? You ever read this? This is what's right there in line here. Backbiters, haters of God. Anybody take God. I love God so much. And that's good. Oh, I do. I like where Brother Anderson in prayer tonight. I believe he used the word adore. And he talked about loving God. Oh, what a wonderful Father. Oh, what a wonderful Father. Mm. Praise, he took care of me so many times. I'm telling you what, you do. Despiteful, but proud, boasters. You know, a lot of times we better be really careful when we get into something. We'll be a little boasting.
You want to hear what I got to say?
No, I don't hear what you got to say. Let's see what the Lord's got to say. Let's see what God's got to say. Let's look at His Word. Don't be a boaster. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Do you mind your mom and dad? Do you obey your parents? When I was a little boy, my uncle Gene Kiss, he told me one day at Ephesians 6, you know, he said, you need to learn that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say something else, but honor your father and mother. And as long as they live, they're your father and mother. You know that? You always honor your father and mother. Talking about the old man, honor. Don't call the old man. You call your dad and your father. That's right. Honor them. Disobedient parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. You think we're at that time in the world right now? People don't have natural affection? Without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. We know the judgment of God that which commits such things are worthy of them. Not only do the same, and here's what somebody here. But have pleasure in them that do them. Let me tell you what, you support games and things like that, you're taking pleasure in it. And you're just as guilty as they are. I said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Read what he said. That's right. You can't support things like that. You cannot do it. You know, you go, okay, let me tell you what supports are. Say you're going to go to a concert. They're going to have a gospel concert right there. You're going to go to it. You're not going to sing a lick, but you're going to listen to it. Well, you part of it. You know that. You part of the concert. So you, right here, you're going to be part of what they're doing because you're taking pleasure in their singing. And you can even say it's okay. It's not okay. You hold the key. Right. You go back in the Bible. Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. In verse 9, we spend our years as a tale that's told. You know what that means? You and I are writing a book.
That's right.
You may be on your last chapter. You don't know. We're writing a book. We spend our years on the tale that's told. And that book is composed of you. It's your writing. It's composed of your thoughts, of your words, and of your actions. Now, thoughts, my friends, is where our behavior starts. Okay? That's right. When we think about something, that's where our behavior will start. And it will lead into what we're going to do and what we're going to say. You talk about something dangerous. It's what we say. I'm telling you. The things that we say. In Matthew chapter 12, when you want to talk, you open your book and you think about this right here. Okay? When you got the big talk, but listen to this. Matthew 12 and 36. But I say unto you, Jesus speaking right here, listen to what the Lord says, okay? That every E-V-E-R-Y, idle word that men shall speak, every one of them. You know, friends, years ago I preached a, some of y'all remember me, Brother Sam Hester, got you on the call there. Brother Sam Hester was a real quiet man. Real quiet. And I use the scripture where it says, study to be quiet. Study, think about being quiet. Boy, I tell you what, I've opened my mouth and said things. I remember so well one time what I did back when I was working at a little old office, get together somebody's house, they cooked something, we were all married, I think they had to take a couple of days. Anyway, me and Sue went to it. And one old boy wasn't there. And to be fair, he wasn't well thought of at the office. He wasn't well thought of. And so, his name came up. This was beautiful. And I mean, so to speak, his ears got burned. You know what old Wilbur did? Oh yeah, I tell you what I did. I burned him too. I did. So we left there. Got in the car. And Sue said, why'd you do that? What she's talking about. Why did you do that, Wilbur? You're supposed to be an example, and you joined in. Woo! I needed it so bad. I needed it so bad. Sin. I can't say I made a mistake. I sinned. Yes, Sam. What we just read about? Whispers, backbiters. And here we read now about every idle word. Every idle word that men shall speak, you're going to give an account of the day of judgment. Notice what else he says. For by thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. Man. And what did he say over there in Psalms? We spend our years in the tale that is told. We write the book. You're going to be remembered by what you say. You know that? You will. People remember. That's right. And you know what else you're doing? Your deeds. And you hold the key to it. This is your life. This is your life. You can control your life. And you are a sum total tonight of your decisions you made in life. I'm going to tell you something, though. When you get ready to get married, you better stop, look, and listen. You have it. Because that person you marry is going to have a lot to do with your salvation. You better believe that. Absolutely. You have a good marriage, you have a good wife, and you have a good husband. Oh, yes, that's a wonderful blessing that nothing else can take the place of. Absolutely. I'm telling you this. That is such a blessing. Wouldn't it be awful to be in the house of somebody that didn't, there was an atheist, didn't believe in God. I heard a story one time. Supposedly true story. This man told his wife, "Where are you going tonight?" She said, "I'm going to church." He said, "I'm sick and tired of you going to church. Go over and get the money. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that. I don't want you going anymore." She said, "I'm going." He said, "I tell you what, woman, you start that door, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to shoot you." She said, "Well, I tell you what. Okay, if you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. If you don't shoot me, I'm going to church." Mm-hmm. You feel that strongly about it? Going to church? But sometimes, friends, people don't come because it's raining. And wouldn't that be a sign? Where's Bass tonight? Well, it's raining. But you didn't come to church because it's raining. Where'd y'all find him at? Well, people do that. No, Richard, there ain't gonna bother me. I'm glad to see it. I am due. Better believe it. That's where it is. Our life. What is our life about? What do we talk about? What's on our thoughts? Would you want other people to know your thoughts? Well, you know God knows your thoughts. You remember reading back in the days of Noah? What it said about the people in that day? Every intention. And the thoughts only we could continue. Their intention, their thoughts, we could continue. You know what? How many were saved out of the whole wide world? Eight people. Remember also about Sodom and Gomorrah, when God told Abraham what he was going to do. Lot lived there. Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived there. The Bible says he was vexed with their lives, so he kept the conversation. You ever use fifth the conversation? Do you know what you're saying sometimes? You ever use the word gee whiz? You know what you just said? You just cursed. Gee is short for Jesus. That's right. You say, "My goodness." No, don't ever, never say that. Don't ever use the word goodness. If you use the word goodness, you talk about the goodness of God. But my goodness, that is slain. That's right. Goodness. Talk about great day, that's talking about judgment day. That's right. You know, you see what he means now by that your yeas be yea and your yea for no, yes be yes, your noes be no. You know what it means? That's what it means. This, these extra words we add, these idle words we add, no friends. Absolutely not. We need to be very, very careful about words and what we say. Because we are writing this book. It's so important that we do. Because we're on that straight path. And we talked about it in Hebrews. Take a straight path for your feet. Lift up your hands. Get on your, your feeble knees. And, you know? And do some work for the Lord. Do some work for the Lord. See, friends, you hold the key to your life. I hold the key to my life. That's right. And we've got to use that key. You know, the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And friends, that's a wonderful thought. Because the more we learn of Jesus Christ, the more we love him. And then we do something that helps me so much with my life is meditation. You ever lay down on your bed at night and you start meditating on that? That is so powerful. To lay there and think about God. Think about Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. You know, we're having a revival this week. You know what that means? It means, read means again. Revival means to live. And I need them. I tell you, I do. I need them. I need it. I need it to somebody to jack me up and push me on and tell me to go to work, Wilma. Time is short. Time is short. You know, I really wasn't fine about a preacher. He said he preached this place 20 years. They said, "Preacher, You've been preaching it 20 years, and we finally had somebody come up, rededicate their life. What do you think about that, preacher? He said, well, if I preach 20 more, maybe I can get one more. See, everybody's important. You know that? Everybody's important. That's right. But we see it sometimes. People leave one by one. You know? And we say, well, you know, it was good for one. But several years ago, I ran a meeting in a church. They had four elders in the church. Four elders. Sunday morning, get started. This woman was there at the church. I didn't know her. Standing there with maybe two of the elders talking. She said, you know, preacher, I used to go to this church out here. But I quit. She said, preacher, you know how many people from this church has called to ask me what happened to me? She said, only one. My job, where I work, this lady came in and told me, we miss you. She said, none of these elders have ever come to me. Call me. Come to see me. Mm-hmm. So one by one, they leave. You ever read about what it says in Revelation about the fear? But you know what he's talking about? People that are afraid to do anything. You better read about the talents. One got five, one got two, and one got one. And that one that got one said, I was afraid. I knew you are a hard man. I was afraid. Afraid to do anything. I'm afraid to say anything. I'm afraid to let my light shine. I'm afraid to call people. You afraid of them? You can't call up your brother or your sister and say, we missed you, church. We want you to come back. You can't do that. Please. Friends, you hold the key. That's right. You hold the key. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. Notice what else it says. And you shall find rest unto your souls. What else did he say? For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know the heaviest yoke you'll ever carry in life? You know what it is, the yoke of sin? Oh, friends. Your old conscience has hurt you. You know you're wrong. You know what you told. It might be that night over at that house. And I mean, Sue knew what to say, didn't she? She did. She knew exactly what to say. Praise God for women like that. That's right. Praise God for her. God blessed me with her. I told her many times, God gave you to me. I absolutely did. I did. I promise you I told her. Told her. Absolutely. I need to hear that. Right. Brother, we need God's word. We do. We need to meditate upon these things. And you know what else she said? Give thyself, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to them. Not H-O-L-Y. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Hold it to them. Give yourself completely to it, Timothy. Sometimes we want to take part of it. We don't always want to hear it all. We don't like that. You know, one night up in Tennessee, I preached about women cutting hair. So when it was over that night, there's about five, six of women stayed here. I said, my door. So they start out. Brother Bass, we ain't come out yet. We don't know what to say. You know what any women told me? I tell you what I'm going to say. I didn't like it. Write Paul and tell him, I don't like 1 Corinthians 11, Paul. Tell Paul you don't like it. Don't tell me. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to get you to believe and do it. You know what he says? That's right. Do what he says. Don't take part of it and leave part of it out. Do what he says. Friends, we're going to give an account someday of our life. That's right. It ain't going to matter what. You might get somebody to agree with you. You might get somebody, preacher, to agree with you. But what does the preacher say? God ain't gonna answer me. Preacher, what do you think? Ain't gonna happen. You're gonna go by this book right here. That's right. And I can tell you what, it ain't in there to fill up space. It's in there because we're gonna be judged by someday, brother. You hold the key to it. It's your life. It's my life. You know what? Friends, we can't worry so much about us being looking so good or having the best or wearing the best or whatever. We got to worry about being a Christian. Just a Christian. Just doing what God says. Following His will in our life. We hold the key to that. If any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If any man love me, he will keep my words. John 14:23. You know, he came to his own, the Bible says, the own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gave you power to become his sons, friends, and you got to become his son. You stay there in that harness of serving God until your life on this earth is over. That's right. The Bible talks about how the years of 80 and 10. You know what a score is? It's 20. 20 is 60. 10 more is 70. If by reason of strength, they be 80. Friends, I done passed the 80. That's right. I'm living, so to speak, on borrowed time, you might say. You know what I mean? God has blessed me. He's blessed me tremendously. He has. Such a blessing that we have. Some refuse the gospel. They turn it back on him. They turn their back on God. He did many miracles on this earth. It says in John 12:37, but though he'd done many miracles before them, they didn't believe on him. Anyway, they didn't believe it. After the miracles he did, they still didn't believe on Jesus. He warned. He that rejected me receiveth not my words. Hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. In this book, someday will judge your life. That's right. It ain't gonna matter what the commentary says. It's gonna matter what this book right here says. How often do we oppose God to our own hurt? How often do we do that? In Proverbs it says, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. You said it not all my counsel. I don't want to hear God, your counsel. I don't want that. Friends, we must want that. We must accept that. We must live by that. Can you imagine? On judgment day, you hear those words, depart from me, you cursed in everlasting fire. You know, Hebrews talks about that too. The book of Hebrews. He said in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one of the day of what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceit. And it hardens you. Oh, you get where you go. You can sit there and listen. I don't care what he says. I don't care what the Bible says. I want to do what I want to. That's right. It tells you women to adorn yourself in modest apparel. You better believe you better do it too. That's right. He said, well, it's not stylish. I know it's not stylish. We're talking about what the Bible says. That's what you want to hear, don't you? You want to hear, come up here and we say a few words and this, that, and other, and slap each other on the back and go home and get it? You want me to tickle your ears? That's what you want me to do? No. He said, I want to hear what the book says, preacher. I want to hear what the Bible says. Look what it says in Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, listen to this, any of you should seem to come short of it. One thing. Okay? And you know what it is in your life if it's one thing. And you won't give it up. You know what I'm saying? You won't quit doing it. It might be your topic. That's what I read you about. Every out of the word. Every out of the word. It may be that. It may be your thoughts. And you know when you're watching that on TV or whatever it is, you know your thoughts are not good. You know it's not. You know you shouldn't be looking at that and watching that and listening to that. You know that. And your kids is doing it too. You let them do it. That's right. Any of you should seem to come short of it. And that's sad. And we won't give up. We won't turn back. We won't turn away from it. But you hold the key. And I hold the key too. In Revelation chapter 3, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And friends, that's where that straight comes. We got to be faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. And then in chapter 3, he's talking to the church at Laodicea. I'm his brother. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thy work cold or hot. So then because art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I want to ask you a question right now. Are you lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? He's not going to have that. You better just be cold or hot. But don't be lukewarm. That's right. And then he says in verse 20 of that chapter, and I fix the clothes, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Friends, we've got the ear, we must hear, and we must do. You hold the key. You hold the key. Tonight, we're going to sing an invitational song. If there's one or more here tonight that's not a member of the Lord's church, we beg you tonight to come. Come believing on Jesus Christ. Confessing your belief by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repenting of your sins. Tonight you're going to be buried in baptism and have forgiveness of all your past sins. If you've done that, you've gone away, please come back. Please come back tonight. Confess your faults. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for prayer. Be ready. Be ready to meet your Lord. You don't know when you're coming back. And you don't know when your life on this earth will be over. It may be tonight. Won't you come together and stand and be saved?